Okay, good evening, everybody, and nice to have the opportunity as ever to share Torah with you. So my topic for this evening relates to the question of the kippah, and I asked what the shiur tonight, I think I said our formal topic is, how important is wearing a kippah, or the significance of the kippah? And it's one of these interesting things that we're going to look at the development and the background to the concept of wearing a kippah. And we'll see that, you know, some people attach a lot of importance to it. Some people attach less importance to it. Sometimes one encounters people who are very punctilious in their mitzvah observance, but for a variety of reasons don't wear a kippah in certain circumstances. Sometimes we find people who are perhaps less punctilious in their mitzvah observance, but for them, the notion of wearing a kippah is something which is absolutely critical. So Jonathan's going to share with us a few makorot in a few moments' time, but I'll share with you what I've got whilst we're waiting. And so the makorot are going to be on the chat, and you can access them yourselves. Thank you, Jonathan. And one of the things we're going to find out is that certainly in the Gemara, there's no mention anywhere that one has to wear a kippah. We'll see the notion of wearing a kippah or covering our heads does find expression in the Gemara, but certainly that there's an obligation to do so is something which is absent from the Gemara. Sometimes people say, how do we know that you have to wear a kippah? Oh, well, it says, Vayitze Yaakov, and Yaakov went out. Could you imagine that Yaakov went out without wearing a kippah? So that proves he must have worn a kippah. But I want us to be a little bit more focused than that. So there's Gemara Masechet Kiddushin in the first perek, which says Rav Huna on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. Rav Huna bereit Rav Yoshua lo maske arba mot begilui harosh. So Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yoshua, he wouldn't walk four amot with an uncovered head. Amar, he said, Shechina lemala miroshi. I realize that the divine presence is above my head. And therefore, as a sense of humility, he wanted to cover himself to give a sense that he was embarrassed of being right next to the Shekhinah, and wanted to distance himself in some way physically from the closeness of the Shekhinah. That's whilst this is a source for covering one's head, certainly doesn't indicate that it was normative or obligatory. It's just Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yoshua, he would never walk four amot with an uncovered head. And the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat, Taf Kuf Yud Chet Amud Aleph, says, Amar Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yoshua, Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yoshua, said, Taiti li de los sagina dalad amot b'gilui harosh. He said, I should get a reward for not walking dalad amot, not walking four amot with an uncovered head. Again, not saying that it's obligatory, but we see that there's obviously some sort of mala, some sort of preference that it's regarded as a good practice not to go four amot with an uncovered head. He wanted to be rewarded for this. And the Gemara, right at the end of Masechet Shabbat, on Daf Kufnun Vav Amud Bet, says that Imei Derav Nachum by Yitzchak, Amrei la Kildai. So the Chaldean stargazers told the mother Rav Nachum by Yitzchak, Bereich Gan Vahava. They said to him, your son is going to come to no good. He's going to be a thief. Lo Shavakte Gilui Reishe. So she wouldn't leave him to go with an uncovered head. Amrale, she said to him, Kase Reisheich, you should cover your head. Ki heichid tehavu alach imtu dishmaya, so that you should have emat shamayim, you should have fear of heaven on you at all times. Uvai rachame, and you should pray for mercy from Hashem that you shouldn't become a ganav. Lo havada yada amai ka amrale. He didn't really understand why she was saying this to him. He didn't understand what was the big deal. Why was she always so worried that he shouldn't go out with an uncovered head? Yom achad, one day, yativ, he was sitting there, kagaris tute dikla, and he was sitting learning underneath a palm tree. Nafal glima me lave reshe. The glima, the hood that he was wearing, fell off his head. Dale ene, and he raised his eyes up. He could see now up high. He was wearing sort of a babasali type hood, presumably, and so he couldn't sort of see up the sky. Now he could see up into the sky. Chazal adikla, and he saw the palm tree. Alme yitzre. So his Yetzer, his evil inclination, got the better of him. Shalik paske likibura bishine, and he broke off a fruit with his teeth and stole it from the palm tree, which wasn't his to steal from. So this was an indication that once he lost his head covering, he lost his Yirat Shamayim. So we see here from these are the Talmudic sources that that we have, and we see from this that there's a notion that if you cover your head, it enhances your Yirat Shamayim, it enhances your fear of heaven. Some of the commentaries explain that in Talmudic times, a slave always had to have their head covered, and that's why. Rav Huna Bereja, Rav Yeshua, so he realized the Shekhinah was above him. So he wanted to show that he was a slave to the Shekhinah, and therefore he covered his head. That's why Rav Huna Bereja, Rav Yeshua, he said, you know, I should be rewarded for not walking Dalad Amot B'Gilui Harosh, because he showed that he was always aware of his status as a slave. So, okay. We cover our heads, and it's supposed to be a help for Yirat Shamayim. But in what way will it be a help for Yirat Shamayim? But look at the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan says, "V'ainyan sharosh shebo hamoach shumakor hachochma v'hayira." Points out that our head, we keep our brains in our heads, and our brains are of course the source of our wisdom and our fear of heaven. It's only because we're able to think that we're able to be wise, and we're able to appreciate the importance of heaven. So we shouldn't uncover our heads with our brains in them in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his glory fills the entire world. Just like we don't stand in a holy place with an uncovered head. If you don't do this, even without realizing it, our Yetzer Hara can perhaps get the better of us. And this is indicating that it's an awareness of our brains cause us to be aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, cause us to be aware of the Shekhinah, and because of that we want to cover them. Certainly at the time of prayer, but not only at the time of prayer, at all times. Now, how are we supposed to understand this notion of wanting to cover our brains for Yirat Shamayim? So, in the 1950s, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he wrote a kuntras about the importance of wearing a kippah, and I've copied some of it at the end on the bottom of the second page, and he links it in with the notion of wearing clothes in general. Why is it that we wear clothes? So if we look in the Parashat Bereshit, we find that the notion of wearing clothes developed after the Chet HaRishon, after the Chet of Adam HaRishon, eating from the forbidden fruit. And there became an awareness of human sexuality, and a certain sense of embarrassment, a certain sense of shame, and therefore mankind created clothes to cover it up. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe expanded that, and he said, from this point of view, it would appear at first glance that the feeling of shame would certainly not apply to the head, the seat of the intellect, the highest possession of the human being, which distinguishes him from the lower species of animals. For is it not the intellect, the zenith of the entire creation? Indeed, the man who thinks there's nothing higher in the universe than his intellect would consider it in contradiction to cover his head, the seat of his intellect, his pride and prized possession. However, the man who believes in God has a different conception of man's status. We know that despite man's intellectual prowess, he is a very humble being. We realize that the intellect, unfortunately, far from getting us out of the mire of temptation, often is itself influenced by it and acts as an accessory. Even he who does not belong to this category nevertheless experiences shame by reason of the insignificance of even the intellect in the realm of the divine. Consequently, not only the lower parts of the body are witnesses of man's downfall, but even the head, which houses the intellect, and perhaps more so. I say more so because the failure of the intellect is man's greatest failure. For while an immature child may not be fully responsible for his actions, the mature person has no excuse. So it is with regard to man's faculties themselves. The failure of the highest is the greatest failure. So, what the Lubavitcher Rebbe was saying was, whilst it's definitely true that the human intellect is something to be very proud of, at the same time, it's something which causes us a certain amount of embarrassment and shame. If we've been endowed with a superior intellect, if we've been endowed with the ability to, we've been endowed with the ability to be creative and God-fearing and thinking personalities, then we should be using it properly. And so often in our lives we don't. And therefore, we cover our heads out of a sense of embarrassment that out of all of creation we've been given the best brains, and yet, so often, we don't use them properly. In any event, from the Gemara, it seems that there's no obligation to cover our heads. From the Gemara, it seems the obligation, or there's no obligation at all. It's just that certain Amoraim did this, and it enhanced their Yirat Shamayim, but there's no obligation to do so. However, if we look in the Shulchan Aruch, right at the very beginning of the Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Bet, Se'if Vav, the Shulchan Aruch says two things as halachot. Asur leilech b'koma zakufa. One's not allowed to walk in a fully erect manner. That's a topic for another time, but it shows arrogance. And a person shouldn't walk four amot with an uncovered head. Now, the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch is quite interesting, because the Shulchan Aruch says, Asur, it's prohibited to walk with a koma zakufa. And then it says, that's a prohibition. And then it says, V'lo yeleich dalet amot b'gilui harosh. A person shouldn't walk four amot with an uncovered head. So shouldn't is different to asur. I think that's noteworthy, that even in the Shulchan Aruch, which is codifying the notion of wearing a kippah, nevertheless, it's codified as a lashon of lo yeleich rather than asur leilech. Nevertheless, the Magen Avraham, in his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, says, "Umidat chasidut afir pachot midalat amot," that even though the Gemara only mentions not walking four amot with an uncovered head, the Magen Avraham says, "Midat chasidut," it's a pious behavior to even a distance of less than four amot, even if you're not going anywhere, to have your head covered. So even though it's not strictly necessary at all, Midat chasidus is never to have your head uncovered. Of course, logically, it makes a lot of sense. Why should it only be if I'm walking a particular distance that I should have to have my head covered? If I want to always show a sense of awareness of being in Hashem's presence, so then I should have my head covered at all times. The Mishnah Brura, however, brings an additional opinion. So he starts off by quoting the Magen Avraham, Umidat Chasidut Afilu Pachot Midalat Amot, Vafilu Be'et HaShena Banayla. Even when you're asleep at night, there's an inyan to wear your kippah. V'yeshem et tzadadin lomar. However, there are those who say, Dafilu Dalad Amot Eino Asur Medina. Even to walk four amot is not prohibited Medina min hadin. It's not absolutely prohibited. Raklat snuim b'mar sehen. It's just people who are particularly modest in their manner, that they cover their heads at all times, but it's not absolutely necessary. So we've got on the one hand to be that chasidut, to cover your hand head even when you're asleep. And on the other hand, but we should be aware that it's actually not obligatory to cover your head at any time. Then he adds in something else. Aval kvar kataz hataz lekaman siman chet. The Taz, in his commentary to the Shulchan Aruch, a little bit further down the line in siman chet, says, Devizmanenu iso gamo medina liot begilui harosh. That nowadays it's an iso gamo, it's totally prohibited to remain bareheaded. Vafilu yoshev beito. Even if you're sitting at home. Now, why is the Taz saying nowadays it's an Isur Gamor? So the Taz in Simon Chet explains that it's a din of Chukat HaGoy. Chukat HaGoy is Gentile practices. And he says that Gentile practices are to always be to have your head uncovered. That whenever you go into certainly whenever you come into a room, you take off your hat. It's regarded as disrespectful to sit there with your hat on. And therefore, if it's a Gentile practice to remove your hat, then we have to keep our hats on. Now, we'll see this is debated a little bit, but certainly this is going to be the case as far as tefillah is concerned. I suppose a good example was, you know, many of us saw bits of the coronation on television. We saw, you know, there was nobody in the abbey wearing a hat. The closest thing there was to a hat, I suppose, was a crown. And not everybody got to wear a crown. But the men, certainly, didn't have their hats on. And even if they'd been wearing hats outside, they took their hats off when they came into the abbey. It's Chukat HaGoy, that certainly in Christendom, to remove your hat for religious worship. So therefore, if Christians remove their hats for religious worship, then we need to keep our hats on. That's as far as tefillah is concerned. The Taz applies it beyond tefillah and says that it applies all the time because this is Chukat HaGoy. Gentiles, they take their hats off as a matter of principle. So we should keep our hats on as a matter of principle. We'll see in a moment that that's a little bit debated. In any event, the Aruch HaShulchan also says, there are those who say, like the Taz, that it's absolutely prohibited to go bareheaded. And on the other end of the spectrum, there are those who say, no, it's not even necessary, it's just pious practice. Omnam, and then he makes a very interesting observation. He says, Omnam, imko v'imko, hanisayon ya'idalze. Whatever it is, experience shows. So he doesn't say exactly what the experience shows, but presumably what he's saying is, experience shows that people who are too quick to remove their kippot, we see that it's reflective of their general attitude towards Yirat Shamayim. A person who doesn't want to wear their kippah very much shows that they don't really want to be reminded at all times that they're in the presence of the Shekhinah. And then he says, and we'll come back to the brackets in the Aruch HaShulchan in a moment. Having said that, the Be'er Hativ, another of the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, says, the prohibition against going with the Koma Sakufa walking upright, with a Gilui Haroshim bareheaded, Hainu Davka Tachat Avir Harakia. That is only if one's in the open air. Avalobavayit, but not in the house. Ki einu nirei kol kach, she'enu mashkiach b'mora shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kim tachat avir harakia. It's only sort of when you're under this open skies and the heavens that if you don't wear it, cover your head, that it shows that you're not being aware of the fact that heaven is above you. If you're in the house, so heaven's not directly above you in any event. There's the ceiling above you. Outside, you can see the heavens, you can see the sky. That should remind you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is up there. And if you don't cover your head, then it's showing a lack of awareness. But in the house, we're not always aware that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there in any event. And therefore, Yesh Lismoch Al Zeh Be'et HaTzorech. And therefore, one can be lenient and rely on that view, Be'et HaTzorech, if absolutely necessary. So that's an important observation. We should note that historically, certainly, I think it's quite well known amongst the Yekkers in Germany, right, that they didn't, you know, always cover their heads in the house or at business indoors. They didn't cover their heads outdoors. Certainly, you know, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, outdoors people generally wore hats anyhow. And indoors, so Beit HaTzorech, if it was necessary at business, whatever, they didn't cover their heads. And we see that this has got a halachic basis to it. In actual fact, beyond that, the Vilna Gaon says, Klala Demilta ain't iso klal barosh magula lolam. He says that Bichlal, it's not prohibited to have an uncovered head. Rak gafir hagafne hagadolim, v'chein Beit HaTfila. It's only if you're standing in front of an important person or at the time of davening, then it's correct to have your head covered. And the rest of the time, likdoshim she'omdim lifnei Hashem tamid. People who are constantly involved in avodat Hashem should have their heads covered. I'm sure the Vilna Gaon always had his head covered. He was always involved in avodat Hashem. But it's fascinating to see that the Vilna Gaon was of the opinion. You know, this was really just midat chasidut, and there was no compelling reason to wear a kippah at all times. So what we have is, you know, a range of views from those who are saying that it's important. I don't know if from the Taz, who says that it's an absolute din to have your head covered. Lichora, the Taz holds that in Talmudic times it wasn't an absolute din to have your head covered, because it wasn't an issue of chukat agoy. But nowadays, in a Western culture, again, if you're in a culture where religious norms are different, in a Middle Eastern culture, you know, I don't think Arabs remove their heads covering, you know, to pray. So in a Western culture, it becomes an issue of chukat agoy to remove your head covering. Others say it's just a matter of midat chasidut. Others say it's really not strictly necessary at all. And then within the midat chasidut, various points on the spectrum. Now, we live in an age and a society where for many people it's very, very easy to wear a kippah in the workplace. It's one of the characteristics of a multi-ethnic society is that religious garb is much more widely accepted than it once upon a time was. I think in this country 50, 60, 70 years ago, the notion of being able to go to work in a secular environment with a kippah on one's head was almost laughable. I imagine there are some people who did, and certainly people who worked in Jewish environments did. But it was very widespread that people, I think probably the norm, that people didn't wear their kippah in the workplace. British society wasn't ready for that yet. Nowadays, many, many people do wear their kippah in the workplace. There might still be some people who find that it's difficult and not appropriate for them. I suspect legally it would be impossible for any employer to stop a Jewish man wearing a kippah in the workplace. But some people just don't feel comfortable or feel that subtly it impedes their effectiveness in the workplace, and they don't wear a kippah. But very, very often, I would say in the main, my experience is, and again, I work in a Jewish environment, in case you weren't aware, but my experience of people is that by and large, people who want to wear a kippah in the workplace don't have difficulty doing so. Nevertheless, historically, as I say, that wasn't always the case. And we've got a number of teshuvot which address this question. The first one that I want to look at is a teshuva from Rav David Zvi Hoffman. Rav David Zvi Hoffman, in the 19th century, was the rector of the rabbinical seminary in Berlin, and was an important German posek. He has Tshuvot, his Shelos Tshuvot Melamed Lahoel, which in the original version we find this tshuva, and he's discussing whether or not a person can be in the workplace, particularly in a court, whether they can take an oath with their head uncovered. So he starts off, we'll just look at the first part, is very, very interesting. He says, this actually I've taken from the middle of the tshuva, Chelek Bet Simon and Vav. He now says, B'kuf kuf yureim de Frankfurt de Main, B'veit ha-chinuch shenit yaseid me'agon Rab Shimshon Raphael Hirsch. He speaks about the school in Frankfurt de Main that was founded and set up by Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch. So a strictly Orthodox school. Yoshvim ha-tamidim shat limud shar ha-madayim b'friat rosh. The students sit, whilst they're learning secular studies, they sit with uncovered heads. Now that was a Jewish environment. Nevertheless, even in that Jewish environment, the students, the Talmidim, sat with uncovered heads. Rab b'shat limud Torah mechassim rosham. Even it's only when they were learning Limudei Kodesh did they cover their heads. The Chenu HaMinag B'Beit HaSefer BaHamburg. And it's not just in Frankfurt on Main where they did that, but also in Hamburg it was like that. V'zena Asel Shama Pitakanat HaRav HaGaon Moreinu HaRav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch. That was all on the basis of the ruling of Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch. V'Pai says, Pama Rishon Shebati LeBeitzo Shel HaRav HaGaon Rav Shimshon Raphael V'Kov HaRosh. He says the first... Rav David Zvi Hoffman says the first time he came to Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch's house, he kept his hat on. Amari shekan hu derech eretz la'asir akova me'al harosh kishev ba'in el adam chashuv. He says here we take our hats off as a mark of respect when we come somewhere, somebody important. V'ula yireh more acher shani eni masir akova me'al harosh lifnei rosh beit achinuch. He said, if anybody else sees you, any of the other members of staff see you with your hat on in front of me, they'll think you're disrespecting me. And so he told me to take off my hat. He says, this is not what the Taz is talking about. This is not a problem of Chukat HaGoy. In terms of if something's a mark just of civil respect, civil manners, then that's not Chukat HaGoy. In the context of religion, it's chukat agoy. This is no more chukat agoy than shaking hands with your right hand. That's a civil nicety. Or the French, a kiss on this cheek and a kiss on that cheek. It's a civil nicety. It's not chukat agoy. Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch held that it wasn't chukat agoy to take your hat off when you went into a place as a mark of respect. And so Rav David Zvi Hoffman said, yeah, so therefore in the workplace, in court, it would be best to put a hat on to take an oath, because you're taking an oath perhaps on the Bible, but it's not strictly necessary. So this is a very important teshuva, because what it's doing is it's dismissing the Taz and saying that even though the Taz says it's an issue of Chukat HaGoy, that's not really the case across the board. And then it only becomes Midat Chasidut. And yeah, okay, so where it's easy to cover your head, or appropriate to cover your head, you should. And otherwise, you don't need to. very fascinatingly, the Tshuvot of Rav David Tzvi Hoffman were republished a couple of years ago. Yeah, whether it's, it must be more than 10 years now, but maybe in the past generation, they've been republished. And this tshuva is missing. The there's just a blank page in the book. There's a blank page in terms of they were, it was printed originally, and then the republication was just a photo stat of the original. And on the Simon Nun Vav is missing. It's just there's a blank page there, which is very shocking in many ways. It's censorship. That's whoever published it or republished it felt that Rav David Tzvi Hoffman was happy to communicate this in his time, but it's not something we want to communicate nowadays. So I don't see why we can't put it in its historical perspective. And maybe they wanted to suggest that Rav David Tzvi Hoffman never said such a thing, didn't hold this. I don't know if they're just worried that people will say, oh, okay, now I don't need to wear a kippah, or whether they want to deny that he ever even said such a thing. But such issues of censorship are a little bit interesting and worrying and disappointing. Rav Moshe Feinstein also has tshuvot on this subject. I've got one here from Igrot Moshe Orchaim Chelet Dalet Simon Bet, where he talks about the workplace. To be without a kippah. And if we look at the second paragraph, he says, he says he thinks it's, if necessary, then it's permissible. According to the Gemara, certainly, and most later opinions as well, it's just midat chasidut, it's just pious behavior to wear a kippah. But the notion that everybody has to practice midat chasidut, that's not true. Something, you know, this is pious pious behavior, and certainly in a case where you're going to lose out as a result of it, it's not necessary. And he then addresses the issue of the Taz. And he says, like Rev. David Tzvi Hoffman said, that we don't really have to worry about what the Taz says. In a business context, it's not chukat agoy, meaning things that, you know, everybody does and there's no religious connotation to it. You know, people take their hats off because they regard that as polite. You take your hat off, it shows that you're staying rather than going. So that's not chukat agoy. And even though, of course, the minhag is that one should wear a kippah, one does wear a kippah, nevertheless, in you know, in where the circumstances demand it, one can be without a without a kippah. On the other hand, there's an interesting tshuva here from Rav Ovadia Yosef. And Rav Ovadia Yosef looks beyond the halachic considerations and introduces a sociological consideration as well. And this is a tshuva in Yechavedat, Chelek Dalad Simon Aleph, right at the very beginning of the fourth volume, where he says it's true that the requirement to wear a kippah is only midat chasidut, and there's no halachic imperative to wear a kippah. Nevertheless, he says that nowadays it's a sign of identity. If a person wears a kippah, it shows that they want to identify as a religious Jew. And presumably, if they don't wear a kippah, it shows that they want to disassociate with the religious community. And one might go even further and say, well, not only does a kippah show that you want to associate as a religious Jew, but the type of kippah shows with what type of religious Jews you want to associate. One wishes that the world wasn't quite like that. But that's kind of the way it is. But certainly, in an environment and in a society where kippah wearing is widespread, and essentially that's what the religious community does, for a person to take off their kippah and say, you know what, it's not. I checked in Shulchan Aruch. I looked in the tshuva literature. It's not really necessary. I'm going to go around without a kippah on. That's that might be, strictly speaking, halachically acceptable, but it's certainly a sign of not wanting to be associated with the religious community. And therefore, he says that if they're, and more than that, to associate, certainly in Israel, with the non-religious community. And therefore, even if one were to argue that there's no halachic imperative, he feels there's a sociological imperative that one should nowadays wear a kippah. So I think the notion of a kippah, it's, you know, Rav Avadia is very perceptive in this, that it's, you know, nowadays it's certainly much more than a halachic consideration, but it's a matter of affiliation and how one wants to be perceived. I will add that it works both ways, of course, and this is a little bit discussed by some poskim. But if the wearing of a kippah is the sign of religious affiliation and, you know, identifying as an Orthodox Jew, then, you know, it brings with it certain responsibilities as well, meaning that one who wears a kippah, you know, needs to be live a life which is in accordance with kippah wearing. And, you know, the notion of, you know, if a person asks, why am I wearing a kippah? It's not just to show that I want to identify as a Jew, or that I want to show that I'm, you know, I've got a fear of heaven, but I need to act with a fear of heaven as well. And, you know, I think it behoves us to, you know, to bear that in mind. And certainly there are occasions when perhaps one finds oneself in an environment which is at odds with kippah wearing. Essentially, one needs to make sure that one's not in such an environment. But if one is, then I think sometimes one needs to make sure that one's kippah is covered, wear a baseball cap instead, because there could be a notion of chilul Hashem as well. And I mean that, you know, many many contexts. I remember some years ago, there was a report in the newspaper about somebody who was on trial in court for a particularly unpleasant crime, and the media reported, you know, he wore his kippah in the dock as an Orthodox Jew. I felt that it would have been better had he not worn his kippah in the dock as an Orthodox Jew. I thought it brought discredit on Orthodox Judaism, and what he'd done also was not compatible with Orthodox Judaism. And I think you know, there are cases where, you know, it would be better to not wear the kippah than to wear the kippah. But even better is that we should wear a kippah, and it should remind us that indeed we are in front of the Shekhinah, that heaven is above us, and that we have to live our lives accordingly. So those are some thoughts and insights on the wearing of the kippah. As I say, you know, it's something which has changed and metamorphosized over the years, in recent years. You know, going back, certainly in this country, I'm told by people older than myself that the change was, you know, 1967. With the Six-Day War. Prior to the Six-Day War, people didn't wear kippot in public. At the Six-Day War, there was an increase in Jewish pride, Jewish self-confidence. People felt that they could wear a kippah out in the street. That's when people started wearing a kippah out in the street. I still think that 30, 40 years ago, very few people wore in the workplace. And I think there are some older people today also who don't feel comfortable wearing a kippah in the workplace. I think the younger generation generally does, but I understand that there are perhaps some people, you know, in certain professions, environments, where they find it very difficult to wear a kippah in the workplace. Anyhow, Ad Kan for that topic, and Bezrat Hashem, next week we've got a shiur again. Next week's shiur will be on the topic of the halachic dateline. So thank you all.